Well, you can get your Bible out tonight and go ahead and open it up wherever you like. We'll get there eventually. I'm just kidding. We're talking about faith basics. This is part number 5. We're talking about baptisms. You know, I was reading up and I was reading about in the book of Hebrews, the author is writing to this group of people. And he says, by now you ought to be teachers, but you know what? You need to go back to the basic principles. And he starts talking about some of the faith basics. We've already covered some of those. We talked about repentance from dead works. We talked about being doers of the word. We've talked about faith, believing God for something. And tonight I believe that you are going to get some fresh perspective on baptisms. There is more than one type of baptism that you find in the Bible. And in fact, we're going to cover two types of baptism. Really dig in. If you really want to find out about this, you'll find that you can find more than just the two things that we're going to talk about tonight. You can find where it talks about baptism in fire, baptism into Jesus Christ. You were baptized just like they were baptized into the Old Testament. And you find all these baptisms in the Bible. If we get a basic grasp of the word baptism, it means to submerge into something. Like taking, if you took a rock and you threw it into the water, you just baptized that rock. It just was completely submerged into that water. Okay? And so, two main thoughts we're going to talk about is about baptisms tonight. We're going to look from the Word of God about water baptism. And the other one is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, you may have heard being filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost. Whatever you've heard, it is a baptism in the Holy Spirit. First of all, let's talk about water baptism. Most people, if you were to ask the church, definitely the young people, I know, because we don't have classes normally. It's not a traditional thing anymore to have like Sunday school or whatever that teaches us some of these basic principles. Here at The Rock, we do. We have one called Rooted and Grounded that teaches this stuff. But by and large, I don't think many people have taken the time out or maybe even knew that we had the class to go out and find out what it is that they believe. So water baptism, where do we get this from? Why do we all of a sudden find out that this is such a big deal in the New Testament? Why do you see it so often in the New Testament? Why did Jesus do it, right? These are all questions that I had, but I never really took the time to find out until I had to finally open my Bible and read it and see what God had to say. And I found out that in the Old Testament, when God set up the sacrificial system to show them a picture of Jesus in the New Testament, that when they would make the sacrifices, now we all know that, you know, there was the tabernacle or the temple, and when people had sin, they would bring a sacrifice. The priest would take that sacrifice and spill the blood on the altar, and then he would burn that sacrifice. Well, on one day out of the year, the high priest, it was called the Day of Atonement, the high priest would make a sacrifice for his own sins as well as for the sins of the nation. He would sprinkle that blood on the altar, and then he would take some of that blood and he would set it aside in a little basin. And then he would completely burn the sacrifice outside of the camp, completely burn it up, just charcoal, it's gone. Now you can imagine if you're a priest and you're slaughtering animals and you're burning them to a crisp, that you're going to be a pretty dirty guy. You're going to be covered in blood, covered in soot, covered in ash, covered in all this stuff. You're going to smell bad, you're going to smell like sheep, you're going to smell like blood. You're going to smell like smoke, right? So can you imagine somebody like that walking into the presence of Almighty God? So what did they do? They had a protocol. What does that mean? That means that they had a way of approaching God. The high priest had to enter the presence of God with the blood, but before he could enter into that presence, he had to go wash himself. Now they had this massive bronze laver. Basically, it was like a big round bowl, okay? And it was held up by these four big bronze oxen that they you know, hammered out and made. And you can look at that in the Old Testament. And so what he would do is he would get in there and he would completely submerge himself into that bronze laver, and then he would come up out and he would wash himself, okay? Cleanse himself, wipe off all that ash and all that smoke, wipe off all the blood. And then he would change his garments into the high priestly garments, and he would take that blood into the holy place, sprinkle the blood all over the place, and then he would go into the most holy place and sprinkle the blood on what was called the mercy seat. And that blood was a covering for the sin of the people, and it covered the nation for that year. Why am I telling you all this? Because in the same way that the high priest in the Old Testament was washing off that filthiness of the flesh, the Bible tells us in the New Testament that we are to be water baptized as well. Not for the washing off of the flesh, but it shows the spiritual reality of what's happened in our hearts. Okay? Jesus comes along, comes to this guy, John the Baptist. We all have heard about John the Baptist. John the Baptist is out there in the wilderness. He's out there by the Jordan River. And John the Baptist is this kind of crazy guy, you know. People are going out to see what's going on. He's wearing camel hair, coat, Okay, he's got a leather belt wrapped around his waist. This guy was styling, man. He would have done well at New York Fashion Week. He's eating locusts and honey. I mean, the guy is just like this naturalist, you know, and he's just doing his thing out there, and he's preaching repentance. And all these people are coming out to him, and as they come out to him, he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." He's saying the kingdom of God is on its way. And he says, "I'm going to baptize you with water, but the one who's coming after me, he who I'm not even fit to untie his sandals." He says, "I can't even tie the guy's shoes. That's how unworthy I am to be in his presence." Hello, that's quite an attitude of reverence towards God. He says, "This guy that's coming after me, he's going to baptize you with fire." But he still baptized people as they repented of their sins. We know what that means. That means that they turned from the way that they were going and they turned back to God's way. As they did that, he would take them and he would baptize them in the water, and then he would bring them up out of the water. Now the Pharisees, the religious people, these religious leaders, they were tripping. Why? Because that was reserved for the priests. Why are you baptizing if you're not a priest? What are you doing? And he says, this is a baptism of repentance, okay? And we'll talk about that a little bit more as we go. So now, Jesus comes along, and Jesus goes to John, and Jesus says, "I want you to baptize me." Now, Jesus had never sinned. Jesus was not revealing sin in his life by being baptized. Because John looks at him and says, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, wait a second, Jesus. You want me to baptize you? No, 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 no. I should be baptized by you. I need to repent. I need to be the one that's getting dunked." And Jesus says, "No, to fulfill all righteousness, it is fitting for us to do this." And so John baptizes Jesus, brings him up out of the water. Then we find that after the disciples see Jesus after the resurrection, Jesus ascends into heaven, and Jesus says, "I want you to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." I'm laying a foundation for you guys tonight because we're getting into this, okay? So he says, "As you, the disciples, have been baptized into repentance, I want you to go, but now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I want you to baptize people. I want you to make disciples. And this is how you're going to know that they're my disciples, is that they will follow this, not just an ordinance, not just a tradition. This is not just a ceremonial ritual, but rather this is an inward reality that you're expressing outwardly by walking in obedience to the commands of Jesus." Everybody with me so far? I know this is like so exciting. You're jumping out of your seat, waiting to say amen. Praise God. But the symbolism is not that we're washing off the filth of the flesh, but we're washing the sin. Our conscience has been cleansed. Because the water, if you look in the Word of God, the Bible says that it's the washing of the water by the Word. So the Word of God, when we read the Word of God, it cleanses our conscience, cleanses our soul. It gives us a new perspective. It gives us a new, clean start. And so when we're baptized in the water, it's a symbolism that takes place. When we submerge ourselves, put every part of ourself into submission and into the Word of God, it cleans us up and it makes us able to stand in the priestly office that God has given to you and to me as kings and priests here on the earth. Now, that's a whole other message. We'll get to that, I'm sure, and then we will shout. Amen. Now, water baptism does not get us saved. I want you to make sure that you get a hold of this. You are not saved because you are baptized in water. And I'll prove that to you as we go along tonight. Water baptism does not make you saved. It's not like if you confess Jesus as Lord, you prayed a prayer and you repented of your sin, and you were on your way to get water baptized and you died. Oh, darn it, they went to hell. That's not how this works. Otherwise, there would be thousands upon thousands of tragic stories of people who were at the point of death. Even the guy on the cross who was looking to Jesus next to him and says, "Jesus, when you enter your kingdom, remember me." And he says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He didn't say, "Oh man, I wish you would have talked to me yesterday because we could have water baptized you before you got up on this cross." No, what is this about? This is about faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ by repenting of your sin and living your life out for him. The Bible says, "He who endures to the end shall be saved." Okay? But we get water baptized because we are walking in obedience to his command and we're saying, "Yes, Lord, I want to do what you called me to do." Now, questions for us to ask is, why should we get water baptized? Why should we get water baptized? Number one is that Jesus did it. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. Can anybody say amen? Amen. So if Jesus got water baptized, we should get water baptized. Why? We're Christ's followers. We're following Jesus in his example and everything that he does. We want to do it too. And why does he do it? He says in Matthew chapter 3, verse 15, he did it to fulfill all righteousness. And we are to follow the example of Jesus. Okay? Also, number two is that it's a symbol that unites us to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. It is a symbol that unites us to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. I want you to turn with me to the book of Romans. Book of Romans chapter 6. It's a great passage if you're struggling with sin, struggling in an area of your life. Get into Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 and get the victory. But Romans chapter 6, starting in verse number 3, and we'll read through the end of verse number 4, it says this. It says, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Verse number 4, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. What does that mean? That means that the water is a picture of the grave. And that before we go into that water, we are the old man. And you ever wonder why you fall backwards when you get water baptized? It's because you're symbolizing something. You're dying. You are surrendering and you're dying to yourself, and you are being buried with Christ through baptism, through submersion in that water. But just as Jesus didn't stay down, Jesus didn't stay in the grave. Just as Jesus was raised by the Spirit of God up out of that water. Listen, if you go backwards like this into water and you completely go back, unless you are like the limbo champion of the world, you're not really going to be able to get up very easily with all that water on top of you. You need someone to pull you up out. And that's why when we baptize you, we might leave you down there a little while and make sure you're clean. Okay? Some of you we might hold down a little bit longer than others. I'm just kidding. We've never lost one yet. Amen. A couple of them coughed, though. I mean, they get the water up there. No, I'm just playing with you. But we bring you back up out. Why? Because Jesus was raised from the grave. And even so, you're symbolizing you were buried. The old man is dead. And now you are raised to life again with Christ Jesus. It is a symbol of what has happened to you on the inside. And now listen, if you are a Christian, if you call yourself a Christian in this room, and you haven't been water baptized already, I want to encourage you. Our next water baptism is on November 7th, okay, that's a Saturday at noon, or November 8th, that's a Sunday at 1:45. So you can come to the third service. Right after third service, go change into your shorts and your shirt and get water baptized. We heat up the fountain, actually, out there. We heat it up. And it is like amazing in there. It feels so good that people don't want to come back out. I don't want to get out oftentimes. And so, I just want to splash around and have fun. But anyways, I get out because there's a holy reverence for what we're doing. But we'll baptize you. We'll bring you back up and out. Okay? So if you haven't been water baptized, I'm encouraging you guys. November 7th and 8th. Okay? That's in a couple weeks here. Coming up next month. Okay? November 7th at noon. November 8th at 1:45. Get water baptized. Why? Because, hey, let's fulfill all righteousness. This is something Jesus did. We should do it too. And it's an outward expression of an inward reality. We are saying to the world, I was buried with him in his death, and I was raised again to life with him. Everybody good? Yeah. Now let's talk about baptism in the Holy Spirit. Okay? I needed to give you that foundation so that you understood where we were going tonight. That's water baptism. Okay? Talking about the doctrine of baptisms. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is a separate experience. Okay? It can come at the same time that you get saved, or it can come at a separate time after you get saved, but it cannot come before you get saved, okay? You have to be saved in order to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, okay? Same way, you should be saved before you get water baptized. Why? Because you're expressing something that's already happened in your heart. Now, this is a separate experience from salvation and water baptism. And when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? You are submerged in the Holy Spirit. You are completely enveloped. You are surrounded and you are filled like a sponge dropped in a bucket of water and left there until it's completely saturated down at the bottom of that bucket of water. Completely surrounded, completely soaked in. The Spirit of God empowers the Christian for living and for witness. That's what really the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for. It's not to get crazy. It's not to be weird. It's not to, you know, just for specific people. It's not just for priests. It's not just for pastors. It's for everyone. And it's for Christian living, godly Christian living, and for the power of God to be a witness on the earth. Okay? I'm going to take a look at a couple of verses for you, okay? In Acts chapter 8. Turn me to the book of Acts chapter 8. I want to show you the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that you guys can get a hold of what's going on tonight. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 8. Jesus is raised again. He told the disciples, tarry in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. The Holy Spirit is promised to you and I. They tarry, they wait, they're in the room. The wind blows in, tongues of fire come in, land on everybody. They're speaking in tongues and they run out and they start to be a Christian witness. Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That power is a dunamis word. It means dynamite. You will get a dynamite explosive power. Even though you're a small package, you are a powerful force for the Lord Jesus Christ when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. So they go out and they're preaching the gospel in Jerusalem. Man, all these people are repenting. All these people are believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Peter says, let's start baptizing people. They start baptizing people. Okay? Now we find out that there was some persecution that arose. Saul, right, who we know as Paul, but this is before he got saved, starts persecuting the church, and so the disciples start to scatter. As they scatter, this one dude named Philip, who is later on, we are told, an evangelist, goes out to Samaria. Now Samaria was where all the half-breeds lived. These people were rejected. Their ancestry was intermingled with other nations, and therefore the Jews didn't like them. And these rejected people who had prejudice against them, Philip goes down and starts telling them about Jesus. While he's preaching Jesus to them, miracles, signs, and wonders are taking place. People are getting healed. The miraculous is being done. And they're just amazed. Okay? Many believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They get saved. They receive Jesus Christ. They're baptized. There's great joy in that city. But we pick up the story in verse number 14. It says, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? That means that they had only been water baptized at that point. Means they had received the word of God and they were baptized. They were submerged in water in the name of the Lord Jesus. But look at verse 17. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. That means that at the point where the apostles went down and laid hands on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, they received. Okay? It was just as simple as that. Didn't have to wait a long time. Didn't have to, you know, pray harder or be more holy or any of that kind of stuff. All it was they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They were water baptized. The apostles came down, laid hands on them. They received the Holy Spirit. That simple, that quick, just like that. Turn with me to Acts chapter 19. I want to show you this, laying a foundation for you on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 19. Starting in verse 1, it says, now it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, this is Paul, the guy that was persecuting the church, has had a radical transformation. He's received the Holy Spirit, and now he's going out being a witness for Jesus. It says, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples. What does that mean? Christ's followers, right? Finding some disciples. These were people who were following Jesus Christ. It says, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we've not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. They said, listen, we're following Jesus, but we never heard anything about the Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into then what were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. What was that? Baptism of repentance. They were baptized in water, believing that Messiah was coming after John. Verse number 4, then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, when they heard what? That Christ Jesus had come, They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So now they believed on Jesus Christ for salvation. They've received the word of the Lord. They've heard Paul preach. They've understood what has happened since John's baptism. Now Jesus has come. Jesus has died. Jesus is raised again. Jesus is Lord. And they say, okay, we believe that. He baptizes them in water. Verse number 6, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. What does that mean? That means that now they have had separate experiences. They had repented and been baptized with John. Now they had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and they were baptized a second time, which shows me that there's no restriction on being baptized more than once. They're baptized a second time into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Right after that, Paul says, well, listen. Now that you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ, let's get you filled with the Holy Spirit. And he lays hands on them and he prays for them. They receive the Holy Spirit. And this time it doesn't just say that they received. It says that they also did something when they received. They spoke in tongues and they prophesied. Now, what does that mean? That means that something supernatural happened. The Spirit of God came upon them. And they started to speak forth the Word of God in prophecy. And they also started to speak forth praises to God in an unknown tongue. The Bible says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels. And also in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you find out it says, he who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks to God. So these people started speaking in an unknown language. They didn't even know the language. But it was glorifying God, and they were speaking mysteries to God with their mouth at the moment that they had received the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes, the first evidence that you see in the Bible and in people's lives when they receive the Holy Spirit is that they will speak with other tongues. You might say, well, somebody prayed and nothing happened. Well, yeah, I know that a lot of people have that experience too. But doesn't mean that they weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit. How do I know that? Because it's not by evidence of speaking in tongues. It's not by works. It's by faith. And if you received hands laid on you and you received the Holy Spirit by faith, you're baptized. It doesn't matter whether or not you operate in it. You are baptized. And you receive the Holy Spirit. Now, whether you operate in it or not is your choice. You guys getting this tonight? All right. Moving right along. Salvation comes first, and then you may be baptized either in water or baptized in the Holy Spirit. Either way. So tonight, I'm going to give you an opportunity to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You say, Pastor Dan, I haven't been baptized in water yet. Doesn't matter. Come get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay? The reason why is because in Acts chapter 10, turn back to Acts chapter 10. We see Peter, the great apostle. He's up on a roof taking a nap, and he has a vision. Sheep comes out of heaven, and God says, I want you to take whatever you want off this sheep, Peter. Kill it and eat it. Peter says, Lord, no, I've never eaten anything unclean. Right? He said, I've never gone against the Old Testament laws that said I couldn't eat these animals. God says, don't call unclean what I have made clean. God was dealing with Peter's prejudice in his heart against the Gentiles. Because God knew that he needed to send Peter to the Gentiles to preach the gospel, to open the door of salvation to people outside of the Jewish world. So Peter comes out of this vision. There's men there and they say, hey, we want to take you to our leader's house. His name is Cornelius. So he says, okay, let's go. You know, so he goes down there. He preaches the gospel to them. And let's look at what it says. Acts chapter 10, verse number 43. We pick up the story. Peter's right in the middle of his sermon. Okay, I'm going to read you part of Peter's sermon to Cornelius and all of his house. He's talking about Jesus, and he says, to him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. So he just gets to the point where he tells them, listen, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, all of your sins will be taken away, remitted. They will be pulled away from you, off of you, and onto the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. He gets to the gospel point of talking about sin and salvation. And look at what happens in verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words. That means as the words were coming out of his mouth, and as these people were listening to every word that he said, they realized, wow, if I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be saved. I believe. I want that. I want Jesus to wash away all of my sin. I want him to be my Lord. Look at what happens. It says the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. What does that mean? That means to me that they heard the word, they received the word, they were born again, and the Holy Spirit just was waiting for them to believe. And as soon as they believe, bang, Holy Spirit dumps on them. And they start to speak in other tongues. They start to prophesy. Verse 45, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, look at this, verse 47, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. What is the word of God saying to us? It says at the moment of salvation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is available to you and to me. And then if you want to get water baptized afterwards, we will do that for you. He says, look, they got saved. They got the Holy Ghost. Should we hold back water? Doesn't matter if they're a Jew. God's poured out the gift on them too. They should be baptized in water. Now, Peter caught some flack about this when he went back to Jerusalem and told them what happened. But Peter said, listen. Ask all these guys that went with me. They were speaking in tongues. They were prophesying. And you remember when the Holy Spirit came upon us, it was an amazing thing because nobody before that had ever spoken tongues. It was a unique gift to the new dispensation of grace when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church. That was something new. Prophecy had been there before, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, working of miracles, gifts of healings, miraculous faith. All that, all the gifts of the Spirit were there before, except for the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues. So Peter says, listen, the Gentiles are speaking in tongues, and that is a part of the church of Jesus Christ. They're a part of the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus wanted us to be water baptized. That's why I baptized them. And it says at that point, everybody said, well, hey, if that's what's going on, man, go for it. That's awesome. Tonight, I believe that there are people in here who not only need to get saved, you need to give God all your heart and all your life, but you also need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because there is power available to you to walk this walk as a Christian, to live a godly life, and to be a witness. What Christian doesn't want that? This is not about being weird. This is not about being crazy. God is a God of order, not of chaos. And therefore, I don't want to freak anyone out. But you know what? Sometimes when the Spirit of God starts moving and starts doing something, it's different than what we expect. It's different than what we know. Tonight, you may see people speaking in other tongues. You may see people prophesying. You might see something miraculous tonight. We're going to let God have his way in a minute. Don't let your heart get out of faith, because I've proved it to you from the Word of God. You've seen it in your own Bible, in the own print, in your Bible. I could go on and on and on and on from this thing tonight. But because of time's sake, I want to make sure first that everybody's right with God. Because you got to get saved before you get baptized with the Holy Spirit.